Greetings and welcome to this website. Thank you for coming back. And tonight, we're going to continue teaching in prayer. Last module, we talked about the foundation of prayer. Tonight, we're going to speak about the most fundamental and the most important of all prayers, the prayer of faith. In the last module, we saw that the foundation of prayer is to understand that God doesn't change, His word doesn't change, and God always does what He said He would do. So that when we bring His word back to Him, when we find one of His promises and bring His word back to Him, He's promised in many different scriptures that He'll do what He has said. His word shall not come back to Him void. But the process of believing the Word of God, the process of believing the promises, the process of bringing it back to Him and having it manifested in your life is based on faith. And faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And with faith, all things are possible. Which brings us to a teaching on the prayer of faith. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Think of what that's saying. The effectual. Effectual means designed for success. Done for success. So effectual tells you there's a right way and a wrong way to pray. You want to structure your prayer in such a way that it is effective. So an effectual prayer is effective. And the way we do that is to pray according to the Word of God. The effectual fervent. Fervent means a burning desire. Somebody who has a burning desire for this prayer to come to pass. Not a wishy-washy, I wish this would happen, I'm hoping this happen. No, a commitment. This I want to happen, and this is going to happen, and I'm vesting my faith into it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You all know, and if you don't, you should know now, that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus, you are in right standing with God. When you're born again and your spirit is recreated, you're in the family of God because you're now in Christ Jesus. God sees you through the blood of Jesus. God sees you through the sacrifice and the redemption of Jesus. And you are in right standing with Him. So your righteousness is a gift of God. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, you got all the conditions, avails much. It moves in mountains. I would say that avails much. Mark 9:23 puts it this way. Jesus said, "If you can believe, for him who believes, all things are possible." If you can believe, all things are possible. That's believing, not just with your head. That's more mental understanding, mental assent. It's believing in your heart. If in your heart you believe the Word of God, in your heart you believe for something, all things are possible. And that really sums up the prayer of faith. So the prayer of faith is best described in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. That's the scripture whereby I came to believe the Bible was the Word of God. When I got saved, I was an atheist. When I got saved, I made a commitment to God. I do whatever He said. I needed to know what He said. And people told me the Bible was the Word of God. So I took the Bible, I took a month off from my business, and I took 1 month. My background having been in science, I decided to test it scientifically. I started at the front of the Bible, flipped all the way through, looking for something I could test. And what I came upon was Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So I took a month off to test them. And every possible way I could test it, many, many times per day, small things, big things. I wasn't asking for things for myself. I was not interested in things for myself. I was interested in getting through my day, solving the issues of life, and helping the people I met. I did it for 30 days. It never failed once. And so I came to believe the Bible was the Word of God. Now, what that scripture is saying is that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, present tense, and you shall have them. It ends in the word them. And the question is, what are the them that you receive? And people over the years have told me that them means things you desire. Some more say things you pray for. But the answer is them. The them that you receive are the them that meet three conditions. Yes, you must desire it. In fact, a fervent desire, burning desire, is a good desire. Not a wishy-washy desire. You must desire it. You must pray for it. That's easy. Easier to desire things and easier to pray. Number three is the one that makes it or break it. When you pray, at the moment when you pray and you say amen, at that point you must believe that you received it. If you believe it's done at that point in time, that God has answered your prayers, that it's done in the spiritual realm, then it will eventually manifest in the physical. Sometimes, especially when you're new to this, almost instantly, shortly thereafter. Sometimes as you mature, it may take a while. One of my famous prayers that I've taught, I used a lot in teaching, took me a whole year for it to manifest. Another one, which is the foundation of Healing School Semester 2, and of every school we have beyond that, took 10 years. 10 years for God to answer it. Took him 10 years to teach me what I needed to understand his answer. So when you pray, you don't know how long it will take. All you know is it will come true if you believe you received it at the point in time when you prayed. As soon as you say amen, then you can rejoice. It's done spiritually. It's going to come. Now, the prayer of faith is the most important prayer, I think, because it is the foundation of all prayers. In our Bible school, we teach many types of prayers. In fact, in the Bible school, as I recall it, we teach 12 categories of prayers, but within the categories are many specific types of prayers, but 12 categories. As you proceed into this website, we'll teach you more about these kinds of prayers. But what they all have in common is the fact that they all must be prayed according to those three conditions we just talked about. You must desire it, you must pray it, and at the point in time when you pray it, you must believe it is done. And that's true for all these diverse forms of prayer. So let me tell you some examples of these prayers. I've kind of lumped them here today for reasons of teaching in three major categories. Prayers that change your fellowship with God, prayers that change you, and prayers that change the circumstances of life. For most people, in my experience and that I've read about, they're more interested in changing the circumstances of life. They want something to come or something to go away or something that they need. But actually, of the three types of categories, that's the least important. The most important is changing your fellowship with God, improving your fellowship with God. Some examples. Thanksgiving. Thanking God for something, in everything, thank Him. Very important prayer. Praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Worship. God seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Conversation. Conversation is one of the most important forms of prayer. It's talking to God. God wants to talk to us. God talks to most people inside them, sort of like listening to your conscience. No, he leads and guides people by inner peace and inner feeling and so forth. But the main thing is to be able to hear his voice. And the more time you spend studying his word and in his presence and practicing talking to him, is the better you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Consecration. That you're going to take your desires, your hopes, your goals, your plans, your mission, a particular project, something you want to do, and consecrate it to God. Frankly, it could be a pet. That, Lord, I consecrate this pet to you. I'm not going to worry about this pet anymore. I've done my part, and it's your job to protect him. Dedication. Like, Lord, this day, I give you my home. This is your home. You dwell here. Dedicate a temple, for example. It's a common dedication. Now, prayers for changing yourself. The biggie, the most important one, is prayers that increase your love, such as the one in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Protection, prayers of protection, like Psalm 91. Prayer for revelation knowledge, like Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Prayer for guidance. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us and lead us. Fasting, prayers of fasting. Cleansing. Fasting, cleansing, and tongues. So, not all churches or Bible schools teach all these, and some of them might be controversial. Tongues, for example, is listed as one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the different forms of tongues, but one is when you speak in a known language, such as I've given prophecy in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. But the prophecies, in particular one that comes to mind, was so meaningful to the person in front of me, that person just broke down in tears. In the scriptures, the only place where it tells you how to strengthen yourself, build yourself up, edify yourself up, is to pray in an unknown tongue. 1 Corinthians tells you, he who prays in an unknown tongue builds himself up. Prayers to change circumstances of life around you. Prayer of faith that we are talking about, the prayer of petition prayer, which we'll also cover. Prayer of agreement, where two people agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. Prayer of authority. God has given us authority and dominion that we are supposed to use. We have authority over the works of darkness, over demons, devils, evil spirit. Prayer of affirmation, which is taking the word of God and declaring it, speaking it out. And spiritual warfare, different kind of warfare. So that's quite a comprehensive list. But it's not a total list. And you might say, well, what's not on there? Well, off the top of my head, I could think breaking curses. Breaking curses is a very powerful prayer. The sins go down to the third or fourth generation. We need to break them. Personal covenant, where you make an agreement with God. I once did that. Once upon a time, I worked for a major motion picture studio, and we were the first studio, by far, by multiple years, I believe, to take the movie trailers to the Cannes Film Festival, where 80% of the movie business is done for the whole year. So having the trailers on a laptop was a really big deal, especially since we're ahead of the competition. Problem is, the project wasn't working. The computer wasn't doing what it should do. And nobody could find the issue. The manufacturers couldn't find it. Nobody could find it. So I prayed and made a covenant with God. Covenant with God was this. I said, I would like you to do this. And then God said, okay, if I do this, here's what I want you to do. I said, okay. And that's what came to pass. We found the problem, and the result of the problem was the manufacture the computer, had to go back and rework the assembly line. It was a major change. And then, as a result, I kept my promise to God, and there are two things I no longer do, because God says don't do them anymore. Well, one was a no, and one was a do. That's a personal covenant. Very powerful. People, most people, could be almost everybody, do make personal covenants without realizing it. But most of the covenants they make are not with God, because they're not talking to God. They make statements like, very common one, I would do anything to achieve this. How many people have said, I'd do anything to be on the screen? I'd do anything to have my book written? I'd do anything to close this business deal? And the devil hears them and takes them up in it, and yes, it's a covenant with the devil. And yes, they'll get what they want, but the price will be very severe. Perhaps there are members, some of you are listening to me right now. Some of you are hearing this on the website. And you suddenly realize you did that. If you did, cancel it. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I break that covenant, I break that agreement. In Jesus' name, I cancel it, and I make it null and void. In the name of Jesus. It's not easy to break a curse. It will change your life. That one prayer will change your life. So moving along, want to look at petition prayer. What is petition prayer? Petition prayer is you asking God for something for yourself. You asking God for something for yourself. And Philippians 4:6 puts it this way. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And then he goes on to say, and then the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. Why? Because you have the confidence that God is answering your prayer. He says, in everything, not just big things, but even small things. God loves you. God died for every part of you. Jesus, God, died for every part of you. God, the Father, loves you so much, he sent Jesus, the Son, to die for you. Not just for the big things, but for everything. So in everything, let your requests be known unto God. Now, that's a petition prayer. Because the prayer is bringing God's promise back to him, and the supplication is using it, the prayer of faith, to make a request of God. So, that's what a petition prayer is. Using the prayer of faith to ask God for something for yourself. Finally, I want to close in talking a little bit about the key to the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is bringing a promise of God back to him. Something you desire. Let's say, for example, you desire to have a job. You look at the scriptures and you find where God will supply your needs. You find out where God says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Then you realize God wants you to have a job. So you bring a scripture back to him and says, God, you want me to have a job. You want me to work. It's a desire. I want a job. You pray it based on Mark 11:24, based on the prayer of faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I should have a job, so in Jesus' name I ask you for a job. And you believe as soon as you say that, it's done. You see it as done in the spiritual realm. You say, amen. In Jesus' name I have a job. Amen. From the moment you say amen, you see it as being done in the spiritual realm. In Daniel chapter 10, the whole chapter is about this, from the beginning, Daniel 10, verses 12 and 13, The angel says, Daniel, from the moment that you prayed, God sent me with the answer. But it took 21 days for me to fight through the spiritual realm, the host of the enemy, to get here with your prayer. So it was done as soon as he prayed, but the manifestation of the prayer took 21 days. In those 21 days, if Daniel had said, well, I guess God didn't want me to have it, or maybe I prayed incorrectly, or maybe this is not something I should be praying for, or got into serious sin, or any of many ways, you could have told somebody, well, I prayed for it, but I haven't got it, so it's not going to work. There's so many ways he could have canceled his prayers, but he didn't. He focused on continued fasting and waiting on God. And once you pray and you believe it's done, then you should ensure that the words of your mouth do not cancel your prayer or say anything contradictory or negative to the prayer. You believe it's done. You see it with your eye of faith. It's done spiritually. You're waiting for it to come from the spiritual realm into the physical. You prayed. At the time you prayed, you believe you received them. You believe you received them when it comes from the spiritual realm to the physical. You believe it has been done in the spiritual realm. God has done it. And then everything takes a while to come from the spiritual into the physical. In the meantime, you see your faith as your title deed to the answer. Just as you have a title deed to your home or your car or whatever you have a title deed to, it's a title deed to what you want, the answer to your prayer. And so you look at your faith, you look at the promise of God. It's mine. God's word says so. I believe it. And you hang on to that promise, with your faith being the title deed, and you will get the manifestation. That's the key to the prayer of faith. That is the key to the prayer of faith. That's where most people lose it. They don't have the patience. If you really believe it's done in your heart, then your behavior will change. You will speak differently. You won't tell people, hey, you know, I don't have a job. You may say, I've prayed, God has given me a job. I'm still looking because maybe I could find something better than the one I prayed for. Or you could say, God gave me a job. It's exactly what I want. I'm going to start getting my clothes cleaned and my shoes polished and buy a tie to go to work. Of course, nowadays people don't wear ties to work, I don't think. Well, at least they wear clothes. So you get ready to go to work. You take some action. If it was a challenge with your body, then move your body. Do something you couldn't do before. Do it. It will work. Maybe a little bit of time. Then more and more. Maybe instantly. But you act on it because in your heart you believe it has been done. The prayer of faith is the foundation for all other prayers. Let's take, for example, Thanksgiving. God has done something for you, and you want to thank him. So you have the desire to thank him. Then you prayed, thank you, Lord. But part three, you believe at the point in time when you say, thank you, Lord, that God hears it and God receives it, and it's done. All three parts. You must desire it, you must pray it, and you must believe it's done. What's the use of saying, thank you, God, for this thing, thank you, God, if you think God is hard of hearing and can't hear you, or not receiving it, or he's turning his back on you? Then your thanksgiving is a waste of time. How about praise? Same thing. You love God, you want to praise him. The scriptures say, praise God. So you desire to praise him. Then you must pray it. You must praise him. I praise you, Lord. I love you. And while you're doing it, you believe that God is there hearing it and receiving it. I mean, you don't think, well, I'm going to praise God now, and God has a tape recorder. He's going to record it, and in 2 weeks he's going to listen to it. No. When you're praising God, you believe God is praise, is receiving the praise, and it's being blessed by your praise. And so it is with every form of prayer. You must desire it, you must do it, and you must believe that God is receiving it and answering it as you do it. And to say, well, God, I've heard this so many times from people, God answers all prayers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. That's not a true statement. Not if you're bringing God's promise back to him. Now, if you're making up the prayer in your head and has nothing to do with the Bible, it may or may not be true. That I have no experience with. From the time I got saved, I was bringing God's promise back to him. And God's promise is always yea and amen. No, maybe you bring God's promise back to him and your prayers will be answered. That is the prayer of faith. In the next module, we look at petition prayer in more detail. Thank you very much for your time. God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. Salvation is such a wonderful gift, and there are so many facets to it. They say a diamond is very beautiful because it has so many different facets, and each facet reflects light. Well, all the facets of salvation certainly reflect the light of God on all of his goodness and his love toward us. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Thank you, Lord. So, with that, let's go into communion. And let's thank the Lord properly by recognizing what he's done for us and by partaking of his body broken for us, his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. Let's take a moment to confess any known sins. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit falling afresh upon each one of us as we now come to the table, remembering what your word says, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. You allowed your body to be broken by taking upon yourself every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain so that our bodies would be made whole and be free from all those encumbrances that the devil would love to throw at us. But Jesus already paid the price, so none of it belongs to us. And we can walk forth healthy, healed, whole, delivered, restored, because of the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Healing belongs to us. It is the children's bread, and we receive it now together, affirming that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Remission from sins, washed away totally, just as if the sin never existed. No more covering over. Those sacrifices were done away with. In your mind, God, certainly when Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed on behalf of us. So we thank you, Lord, that we are the children of God. We are covenant children of God. We're the healed of God. We're the prosperous of God, because Jesus paid the price for every part of our lives and has provided everything that we would ever need through his sacrifice, through the blood shed, through the covenants established, through washing our sins away. making us righteous and in right standing with Him. Wow. Such a gift. Such a wonderful thing. We celebrate our salvation every time we partake of communion. We celebrate the life that we have in God through Jesus every time we partake of communion. So yes, Lord, we remember and we celebrate and we thank You as we partake together of Your precious blood.